piggyback off what Mark was talking about. A lot of sickness going on in their family right now, but there's sickness with all of us. If it's not, you will be sick soon, or you're either recovering. I think it's appropriate that God has led us to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning. And because things that happen to us are common to all mankind in these human bodies, and we're going to have a word of comfort today. But I was thinking, Brother Marcus, when you were talking about 2,000 years ago, one who went to the cross and took our afflictions and our ills and our sin upon him that we may not have to bear them. And so I just appreciate God's grace this morning. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. We're going to just preach through really verse 3 through 7. And then you don't want to miss next Sunday, because this is connected to this, about how exactly does God work in our suffering. And we'll talk about that. So let's stand in honor of God's word as we begin our study in 2 Corinthians. And I'll call it encouragement in troubling times. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God hath in all of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. And whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also be of the consolation. Father, I pray that you teach from your word this morning. I pray that I have rightly interpreted the text and be able to communicate it in a way where it can be understood. We're not here for theatrics this morning. We're here to see what your word says to your people. So, Father, I pray you take it where it needs to go and do its intended work. We're reminded that your word never comes back void. It may not come back like we want it to, but it accomplishes its intended purpose. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The God of all comfort. There's two key words in this letter of comfort and encouragement. That's the two words, comfort and encouragement. Paul is writing. Nobody was suffering like the Apostle Paul. I think Paul suffered second only to Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. So in spite of the trials that Paul experienced, and we'll talk about that next week, he was able to endure by the grace of God. And he wrote this letter of encouragement here. You'll find yourself probably when you're discouraged, ready to give up maybe, ready to get your focus off of God. And I would tell you as your pastor to get our focus on God and share with others what God has, how God comforted us when we needed comfort. Okay? Amen. The reason we go through trials, beloved, is that we may use that as a channel of blessing to somebody else. So don't store up and hog and hoard all the comfort God gives you. Share it with other people, right? So how can we find encouragement in God? Well, I want to share with you three very simple reminders from our text. Number one, remember who God is in verse 3. Blessed be God, and even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Paul understood whatever happened to him, he was in the will of God. In his circumstances, God was in control of his circumstances. Everything was happening to him by the divine will of God. And to get the glory, he needed to give God the praise. Verse 3 contains four reasons we are to give God praise for his person and work. Number one, who God is. Number one, verse 3, praise him because he is God. Just because he is God, he deserves our praise. Amen? Amen? He is God. Look in verse 3. Blessed be God. Now, it's interesting, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul chose to praise God for what he did in the past in choosing us to salvation and blessing us with all spiritual blessings. And Paul and Peter also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, praise God for future blessings, a lively hope. We're going to heaven. And he talked about a living hope made possible by the resurrection of our Lord. But here in this text, Paul chooses to praise God for his present circumstance and his present blessings here. So we praise him because he is God. Number two, we praise him because of his Son in verse 3. Notice that. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And only through Jesus can we call God Father, right? There's a lot of people running around today to claim to know God. They don't know God because they don't know his Son. And the only way to the Father is through the Son. And they worship in like Allah. There's even Baptist churches that are teaching that Allah and Jehovah God are the same God. Excuse me, they are not. One is demonic, one is divine, amen? So Peter said, praise him because of his Son. We come into God's presence because we're children. God's not obligated to answer any prayer except the prayer of repentance. And I run across lost people all the time that talk about the man upstairs, or they talk about, oh, I love God. Yeah, you don't love him enough to come to church. Amen? You don't love him enough to study your Bible, to pray, to give your life to him. He gave his life for you, and you don't love him enough? Hey, don't come at me with that hogwash. It don't make no sense. And it don't add up. God sees us in his Son, and he loves us as he loves his Son. That's a hard concept for us to believe. God loves you just as much as he loved his only begotten Son. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? We are beloved of God, accepted and beloved, Ephesians chapter 1 says. Accepted. We are beloved of God, accepted and in the beloved, accepted in Christ. He is the beloved. That's one of the names for Christ. And then thirdly, we need to praise him because of his mercies. As we talk about, we praise God because of who he is. Notice that in verse 3, if you will. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. God is the Father of mercies. He's the originator, what it means, of all mercies. If you want mercy in this world, you're going to have to get it from God. Amen? Because this world ain't going to give you mercy. And I'm afraid many people in the church ain't going to give you mercy. But God will give you mercy. He's the originator of all mercies. God in his grace gives us what we do not deserve. And in his mercy, he does not give us what we do deserve. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Lamentations 3:22. God can wipe us all out right now. But he's chose not to do it that way. So we need to praise him because of his comfort. Last part of verse 3. And the God of all comfort. You know, we often pray for lost people when we hear they're going through hard times. We pray, God, comfort them. Listen to your pastor. God can't comfort them until they come to him. Are y'all with me? He's not promised to comfort anybody except his children in the Bible. They got to know Jesus first before they can even consider. If not, how can God comfort a lost person when they bypassed his Son? If that's the case, God comforts a lost person, then hey, why did we come to faith? Why don't we just stay lost and let God comfort us? You see? He is the God of all comfort. We see this word comfort and consolation. It's repeated 10 times in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It means that God puts strength in our hearts so we can face our trials and triumph over them. We have a divine resource to go through trials. Lost people don't. They have no divine resources. What are they going to call on? Dr. Spock or Dr. Phil or Dr. whoever? No. They have nothing in them to give them encouragement in these hard times. So we praise God because of who he is. The Greek word means to come alongside and help. That's what the word comfort means. Guess what? We sung it this morning, didn't we, Brother Marcus? The Comforter. I like that song. That's a biblical song. We need to sing that more often. The Comforter has come, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the second person, the third person of the Trinity has come as promised on the day of Pentecost. And that's what he's talking about there. The Comforter of consolation means to come alongside and to help. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's our Greek word, Paraclete. He comes alongside us and helps us. And God can encourage us through the scriptures, through his spirit, through other saints, and sometimes through situations. You know, it blessed the church this morning to know that your grandson Aaron is coming home, right? See, that's why we don't need to hold a blessing. And we don't need to hoard a comfort that God has given us in our times of trial. If you're going to do that, why do you need the church? Y'all hear what your pastor just said? If you're going to go through struggles yourself, why do you need us? And what you're really saying is you don't need us, right? Now, I understand there's some things in confidence we can't share, and I understand that. But if God has comforted you in whatever trial in your life, that's because he intends you to be a channel of blessing to someone else. And it's beyond me to see that God has comforted Christians, and when they see someone else going through something similar to them, they don't go to them and be a paraclete or come alongside them and try to help them, right? Lost a spouse, right, Brother Frank? I imagine you're an opportunity to share with others about how God comforted you in that loss, right? You see what I'm saying? And this is what he's talking about. Praise him because of his comfort. It is easy in our trials to look at ourselves and focus on our problems. You know, I'm one of the world's worst. My kids can tell you about that. You know? I worry about things that never happen. Do y'all do that? Then I'm almost disappointed it didn't happen. And you get your eyes off God, and next thing you know, Satan has all kind of scenarios going on in your mind, right? Remember when your child went on their first date? Man, you had everything happening in your mind, didn't you? Man, you had them running off, hitting a tree, they're in a ditch, nobody knows where they're at, right? Because they're 5 minutes late. I got to admit that. I'm that way. My kids know I'm that way. I check on them often. I'm glad I don't have Facebook. I'll be worrying them to death on Facebook. But we need to focus. We need to focus on God and not ourselves. See, because when you focus on yourself, everything channeled inward. It's all about me. It's all about myself, right? One of the best ways, when I go through a hard time in the ministry, I just get into the Bible and I get out and start visiting. And that's taken away very quickly. We praise him because he is God, because of his Son, because of his mercies, and because of his comfort. But not only do we need to remember and praise him because he is God, but what God has done for you. I think we'd be amiss today if someone says, God has done nothing for me. Right? We would be lying, wouldn't we? God has done more than what we deserve for us. And we get so easily disappointed when he doesn't do what we want him to really do in our flesh. And we don't understand that he's protecting us from something that might hurt us, right? If God gave me everything I've ever asked for, I'd be a messed up 65-year-old man on Medicare right now. I would be messed up. What God has done for you, look in verse 4. He says, who comforted us in all our tribulation. Now this is going to be a hard truth for us to stomach. But he permits trials in our life and comforts us in those trials. The word tribulation means narrow, confined, under pressure, afflicted, or troubled. You ever felt like you went between a rock and a hard place? Everything was so narrow. You're being persecuted on every side, and trouble and affliction. And many of you can testify to what your pastor is saying this morning. You don't know which way to go. But go to God in his word and his prayer, and he'll show you which way to go, right? You got a loved one, a family in your family that's bad things are happening to them, and there's just one thing after another, and they get themselves in all predicaments, and you know they need the Lord. Amen? They need the Lord. They're not going to straighten out their life, or he's not going to straighten out their life till they come to faith in Jesus Christ. So we often say, we're trying to fix the problem by doing something else for them. In reality, we're just masking the problem. The problem is they're lost, right? And God never promised us we wouldn't go through hard times being saved, but he promised us he would go with us, right? So God, what God has done for you. There are some sufferings we endure because we are human. We're in a fallen world. We live in a fallen body, right? As you get older, you begin to see things falling off or falling out, right? Yeah, don't take that the wrong way. But sometimes I can get my head out of the bed easier than I can my body, right? And how we get in a car. You watch somebody get in your car, you can tell if that person's got problems or not, right? I'm going to start driving my truck on Sundays to pick up Buddy because he has a hard time getting in my little car. And I said, brother, Buddy, I can't leave till all of you's in, you know? There are sufferings that come our way because we are God's people living righteously and walking in truth. You may not believe that, but you go up to the courthouse and begin to preach that Christ is the only way to God the Father, and you'll find out who your friends are. Amen? Amen? Trouble is no accident in a believer's life. Everything is by divine appointment, allowed by God to make us better and to more like Christ. So don't turn inside. Turn it outside, right? Our trials are not by faith or chance, and we understand that God is in control and his sovereign will in our life, we can learn to trust him no matter the circumstances. Yes, it would be hard to go through a very hard time in my life. And I don't admit that. I mean, I admit that. But I'm telling you, ultimately, we've got to land on our feet and say, God, this is your sovereign will. Right? So praise God for teaching us he is in control of our trials. We'll talk more about that next week. So we remember who God is. We remember what God has done for you. But thirdly, verses 4 through 7, we see that we remember what God has done through you. Now notice that in our text. Verse 4b, that you may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Now, I didn't write this. God did. He has comforted us in our tribulation that we can comfort other people in any of their troubles. Right? Ain't that what the text says? By the comfort wherewith he ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, and they did abound in the Apostle Paul, so our consolation aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. See, if you go into a hard time, I bring someone to Christ, that's worth it all, right? And that's what he's talking about here. And he goes on to talk about how that works in verses 6 and 7. Let us go back. What does God do through you? What God does through you? We praise him and we remember what God has done for you. It may not be working out according to your plan right now, but remember what God has done for you. One reason, verse 4, for our trials is that we may be a channel of blessing to comfort and bless others going through trials. Have you ever thought maybe you were at a hospital or you were somewhere and there was somebody around you and they had broken down and they were going through something and they were crying and you hadn't been through that and you just standing there hopeless because you haven't identified with that trial? Right about it, right? How can I comfort someone? I can comfort someone who lost a father, but I can't comfort someone who lost a mother, right? Really? And so we feel useless. But when God sends that trial in our life, we're now qualified to comfort them in their trial. And human suffering is not easy to understand. I mean, next week we're going to talk about how God actually works in our suffering. And it's going to be a very verses 8 through 11 of chapter 1. But sometimes we suffer because of our own sin or the sin of others. Man, we sin. We're sinners, and we do make mistakes, and it brings about wrong choices, bring about consequences, right? And then our family makes wrong choices and decisions, and we got to live with that the rest of our life. And then we suffer storms of perfection like Job did. They're designed to make us like Christ and usable by God. We'll see that next week. But another reason for our trials is that we may help others. Listen, don't misunderstand your pastor. You say, I don't want to help others, so therefore God's not going to send a trial in my life. I mean, I'm not saying that, right? Now, if you don't want to witness, he ain't going to send somebody in your path. But you're not exempt from suffering. And I'm not exempt from suffering. So he tells us here that another reason for trials is that we may help others. And we talked about this before. There was a time here at Trinity when we were going through intense suffering. And people were hurting and people were dying. But I believe that God sometimes sends suffering on a particular fellowship so that fellowship may learn how to minister one to another. You're not concerned about other people? You don't want to help nobody else? I'm just saying, God may send something in your life where you need encouragement, and you can be qualified to help others, right? God has to work in us before he can work through us. That's what we're talking about. We remember and praise God for what he's done through you, not only what he has done for you, but what he has done through you. Sometimes God says this, and I got this from a Bible teacher, God prepares us for what he is preparing for us. God prepares us for what he is preparing for us. And notice verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Aren't you glad that Paul didn't give up? The apostle to the Gentiles? You would not have the gospel today were it not for the apostle Paul. Right? Notice verse 5. We must suffer in the will of God. When we must suffer in the will of God, we share in the sufferings of Christ. There is no crown exempt from suffering. There is no, you cannot get the crown unless you also suffered with him, is what the text says. Paul referred to the fellowship of his sufferings in Philippians 3:2. When you got saved, you signed up for the fellowship of his sufferings. And if they treated Christ like that, they're going to treat you like that as well. The suffering we experience is because we faithfully do God's will. People say, well, you're suffering because you're out of God's will. Not necessarily. You may be suffering because you're in God's will. And verse 5 also tells us, as sufferings increase, look at that in verse 5 again. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation or our comfort also aboundeth by Christ. In other words, the more suffering, the more comfort, right? As sufferings increase, so does God's grace increase. And I believe that God has ample grace for every need and for every believer. He's not taxing his grace to comfort me and comfort somebody across America or across the world at the same time. That puts no heavy hardship on God. He is God. It doesn't tax his divinity to be able to do that. Aren't you glad for that? That you're in the hospital and you say, well, God's comforting that person down the hall there, but he's not comforting me. No. He's everywhere at the same time. He's omnipresent, right? And he can comfort us. I want to leave you with this verse. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Verse 6 and 7, of course, is tied to verse 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but he is in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may attain mercy and find grace. When? Help in the time of need. You're going through a hard time. You can't unpack your suitcase and say, I don't believe I'm going to get a little grace out of the suitcase. Or you tell your wife, wife, you got that little container we got God's grace in? Or I'm going to call back and go back and get some of that grace that I had 10 years ago. No, the grace of God comes to you at the point of your need, right? At the time of help. So that's why you need to be a believer. That's why we need to have an orderly walk. Because we can't call on something we don't have, right? And God's grace will help us. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. You stand, bow your heads as Wanda comes. The altar is open. A lot of heartache, a lot of trials and sufferings, a lot of uncertainties in our lives because we're human. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and give it to God. take the focus from within to without and above. Say, God, I don't know why this is happening. God, I don't know what's happening. But I do know I live in a fallen world, and we live in fallen bodies. And I do know that sin and suffering suffering and sickness and death came into the world because of sin. But we praise you, God, today that you sent your only begotten Son that might give us life and life eternal. Whatever it might be. Maybe you've been comforted by God in a certain situation, but you just an old Christian hoarder. You ain't touching nobody else with it. You're keeping all the comfort and grace to yourself. A word, a phone call, a visit means a lot to everybody. Maybe you need to get out. Maybe you need to be a minister and get out of your world that you think is so important and get involved in helping people. Whatever it might be today, I pray that you show us, Father, each one individually what we need to do. Maybe you're here today without Christ. If you were to die today, you go straight to an eternal hell without Jesus. Oh, you know about God. Come to a church occasionally. Think you're okay. But being a Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. Today you need to repent of your sins and place your faith in Christ alone for salvation. And the Bible tells us he'll place you in the body of Christ. He'll dwell you with the Holy Spirit of God. He'll give you what you need to sustain you for this Christian life. And you'll have an eternal body and home in heaven when you die. That's it, folks. There's no other way. So you respond as God leads.